Tonight's episode of Survivor Know-It-Alls is sponsored by DraftKings.com. DraftKings is where you can go to play in America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, because your season-long fantasy football team might be more screwed than the Angkor tribe, but it doesn't mean that you can't be winning when you play on DraftKings.com, because injured players like Jeff Varner or Spencer or any of these people that got a block dropped on them, forget about them. You could pick all new players every week when you play one-week fantasy football. There's no commitment, and DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week this season. That means you could turn your love of the football into the payday of a lifetime. So believe me, you've never experienced football like this. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code Rob and play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest, where first place takes home $100,000. Enter Rob for free entry now, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Though Steven is not around, you still have to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that's right. Survivor Know-It-Alls, episode number 4 in the books. What's the beef? And we've got a lot to discuss here
tonight. I got a lot of beef.
We got a lot of beef with the Survivor gods for taking Jeff Varner away from us, Josh Wiggler.
Unbelievable. Way too soon. Way too soon. Such a depressing outcome. That sucks.
It does suck. It certainly sucks. Josh, were you faked out by the edit? Because I was. I was ready to come on here and I was going to be incredulous. One, I was going to say, okay, well, here's the good news. Jeff Varner is still in the mix. But on the bad news, boy, these people made a huge mistake tonight.
You really thought that Wu was going.
I did. I bit hard on that Wu was going. And I was ready to come on here and rant. If you could imagine that, Josh, I was ready to come on here and rant tonight about how in the world does in the argument of who is loyal to us, is Wu not the answer? Wu is potentially the most loyal player in the history of the game, so much so to a fault that he made the biggest mistake in the history of this game, and that you're possibly even contemplating that, well, Jeff Varner is going to be more loyal to us. So kudos to Jeff for that sales pitch, for basically trying to sell people that the sky is no longer blue.
Yeah, well, there's a reason you're not coming on here and sincerely making that rant, and that's because the players on Angkor, this tribe is in such a bad situation, but Angkor, these people on this tribe, they're smarter than that. They see what you're saying, and they got it right. You know, it sucks for the viewers, it sucks for us that Varner is gone, it's absolutely devastating, because he's been such a great force throughout this season. His confessional game is so strong. But he had to go here. He's the only choice. It's the right call. And people like Tasha, who's playing a really strong game, she's not going to waver from that. And, you know, we'll dig into everything that Tasha did and what everybody did on this tribe. But Tasha's, you know, she's masterful with Abby. You had to get rid of Varner here. The edit may have been saying that Wu was the one who was going to go, but conventional wisdom, it had to go this way. This is the only way it could go.
I mean, and kudos to Jeff for what a sales pitch. We'll talk about all that tonight, what's going on with the three tribes. Why I also think it's time to merge the tribes back down to two here as we move along here going forward in Survivor Cambodia. But a lot of fun stuff to talk about from this tribal council. Let me just set the stage here for Survivor Know-It-Alls. We've got the chat room open, robiswebsite.com. We're going to take your questions, hashtag RHAP. We've got our YouTube channel, robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Tomorrow, I will be speaking with Jeff Varner on the podcast. Josh Wiggler will speak with Jeff Varner for parade.com. You can go to robiswebsite.com/parade to see all of Josh's articles and exit interviews for parade.com. Then we'll do the big podcast and a little bit of a programming note. So Randy will be the guest. Randy Bailey, very excited to talk to him. We'll speak to him in the recap.
Will there be cookies?
I hope so. I always hope cookies? So.
Will you buy him a beer?
And then we will also talk with Nicole Cesternino for the voicemails, but we're going to break it up into two parts. It's a two-parter this week. So the good news is the Randy podcast will be up earlier in the night on Thursday instead of waiting late. And for a number of reasons, the Nicole voicemail part of it will get to you guys on sometime Friday, by the end of the night, Friday night.
These two-parters are good, too. Don't beat yourself up over it, Rob. It's fine. It is what it is.
A couple of factors at play here, including the Mets having a Game 5 elimination game against the Los Angeles Dodgers, plus a early a.m. flight to San Francisco to go meet up with Tyson and go to the Blab headquarters for the Blab Up this weekend. So, right, I got to get out of town.
But really, it's the Mets.
Both things. It's both the Mets. It's the Mets eating up some time that could have been used for recording. But we also have to wait for Dominic to go to bed. So a little inside baseball, literally and figuratively, for the podcast going up. So two-parter coming up with Nicole and Randy. Get your voicemails in for Nicole. All right. Let's get into talking about this. Did it make any sense whatsoever to potentially vote out Wu, Josh?
No, I really don't think so. And I think that the person whose perspective you got to think about the most from is Tasha. Tasha has this thing going on with Abby. She feels like she has Abby under control. Abby can only otherwise be controlled by Varner on this tribe as somebody who has a history of controlling Abby. Tasha sees him as competitive. They have bad blood. They've got beef from last week with the whole, you know, explosion that happened at the end of the immunity challenge. And Tasha's got Wu. Tasha and Wu have history. Tasha cast a winning vote for Wu to win Survivor Kageyan. She's seen how loyal he is. So loyal, as you pointed out, that he lost his game because of it. So she knows the loyalty card is good with Wu. Wu is strong. He's stronger than Varner in challenges every day of the week, probably anyway, but also when Varner has a crushed foot on top of it. So unfortunately, I don't think that there is any reason to get rid of Wu from Tasha's perspective. And that just sucks. It's very bad draw for Varner.
To me, most of this episode, at least the parts with Angkor that weren't talking about the victory from Andrew Savage, which was impressive. Everything at Angkor was sort of like presenting argument to Abby Maria, and then Abby Maria responding, yeah, but Wu voted for me twice.
Yeah, twice, and he's dead to me.
And then present any other arguments like, yeah, but Wu, you voted for me twice, and if you do that, you are dead.
You are dead.
So it was a little bit frustrating to just see that just go in circles, but also fun to sort of
imagine playing with that.
To see everybody sort of chasing their tail with that. Now, Jeff, I thought, took an interesting position, which was, hey, I'm going to be loyal to Abby no matter what. She's the swing vote. She wants to vote against Wu. So Abby has my loyalty. I'm putting myself that 100% I'm going to be loyal to the wild card in Abby. Was that a mistake to potentially not go back and pitch to the Savage Tasha group? Hey, let's keep Wu. Wu is strong. Instead of throwing Wu away, Wu is a major asset when you're a tribe this small. Instead of throwing Wu away, what if we keep Wu and I've proved myself to be loyal to you? Abby is the wild card. Abby is the person. You see how she's getting? She's not listening to reason. Why don't we vote out Abby at this vote?
Right, but the risk is that there is no real love lost between Varner and Tasha, and maybe Varner and Savage at this point anyway, given that blow up, given the fact that they just are clearly not, they don't have trust between them. And Abby, for better or for worse, is one of these people that Varner has been working on, and he believes that his chances hinge completely on Abby staying loyal to him. And if he makes that gamble, if he goes to Tasha and Savage and makes that pitch, and that goes back to Abby, then he's in huge, huge trouble because he's depending on Abby being able to convince Tasha and Savage that we just got to vote out Wu because that's the way that I'm voting. So I hear what you're saying. I feel like that's really risky.
It's certainly risky, but at the point where did Jeff feel confident that it was going to be a vote to take out Wu? Did he feel good about that? Because I feel like that seems like an easier sell to me, vote out Abby Maria, because we saw Tasha getting incredibly frustrated with Abby Maria.
Right. Yeah, but the dude's been Teflon up to this point. You know, obviously it's only been three votes, but every single vote he has somehow come out the other side completely in the right, and especially improbably last week with the PG thing. So I don't know. Maybe he did feel confident. Maybe he did have some swagger. Maybe he did really feel like he had built something with Abby that was going to take him through to this next vote, or at least that Wu had really tanked whatever goodwill he had with her. So I do feel like he had some confidence in there. You know, he pulls her in at the end of that tribal council and says, "You little bitch." So it looked like he thought that he was going to stick around for a little while longer. I don't know. I'm depressed. I'm upset. Very upset.
Very upsetting. Very disappointing to see how this was going to go, because
young Wiggler, very devastated. Varner was my winner pick back in Australia. He is gone so soon this time. Young Wiggler, very upset. Old Wiggler, very upset as well.
Yeah, you knew he was going to have a lot more fireworks along the way, because you knew he wasn't going to stick with those guys, and he was going to ultimately, they were going to pay for keeping him around. So disappointing to see him go out. Josh, let's talk about this Abby Maria thing. I mean, how much further can this go on where, you know,
she's going to win at this point. She's going all the way to the top.
I mean, do you get to the point where you can no longer negotiate with terrorists in that, you know, she is, you know, you give her like, here, meet my demands. And then you give her demands, and then she comes up with new demands. Like, those demands do not get you much.
Well, the thing is, at this point, there is a real danger for Abby Maria, because she's been very useful for Tasha and Savage up to this point. She has kept them alive. She has decimated the Takeos that came over to Angkor with her, and she has been pivotal for those two players. We're now reaching a point where she doesn't need to be pivotal anymore. Tasha and Savage can say, "Hey, Wu, you're with us." Tasha has a strong relationship with Wu from her time playing with Wu back in Kagyan. Abby could be in very big trouble. So the question of when is it too much to negotiate with Abby, that could be coming up as soon as next week if Angkor goes back to Tribal Council. If I'm Tasha or Savage, that's the time to get rid of her. She is way too unstable. She is way too unpredictable. She has voted against her close allies in this game. She has flipped every vote. So I feel like this is the time. This would be the occasion to do it.
Okay, in terms of now Wu moving forward, where do you think his loyalties lie? Do you think that maybe Tasha could be his new Tony in this game?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be loyal to her to a point. I don't know quite how strong his relationships are with the old Takeo people, but in terms of this gang, in terms of Tasha and Savage, he's absolutely going to be indebted to Tasha for a while, don't you think?
You would think so. I mean, if we go back to Survivor Kagyan, if you recall that it was not Tony and Wu together, they were not like a Steven and JT where they were together from the start. It was that Wu was the right-hand man of Cliff Robinson, and Tony worked extremely hard to blindside Cliff Robinson. And of course, we remember the Wu blindside face at that point. And then at that point in time, that was when Tony picked up Wu. So Wu is used to, you know, switching gears, you know, 10 days in, 12 days in, and then picking a new person to follow along. And maybe Tasha is the new Tony.
It could be. It could be. That could be his plan right now, such as he has one. I think that he's just excited to still be alive out there. Were you impressed with Wu at this tribal council, speaking up for himself, sticking up for himself in the face of Varner?
Yeah, I found myself rooting for Wu. I mean, I was rooting for Jeff Varner more to stay, but I felt like, good for Wu. And I was really saying, like, how could you vote out Wu here?
Yeah.
What are you doing? So I was really... Really, I couldn't believe that it came so close, that they were considering it that much. And again,
now, was it really the edit of this episode, or was it the Varner edit in general? Because this has been a larger than life character for these first four episodes. You know, the first four episodes of Survivor Second Chance, our whole experience with this season so far has been so defined by Varner. Was that kind of the big surprise for you, that this just felt too early for a guy of that, you know, that size and stature in the story of this thing to go out this fast?
Well, Jeff was such a big part of these first four episodes. But yeah, I've talked about it a lot this week going through the podcast, and nothing else made sense. It felt like, okay, we're probably 95% sure Angkor is going to go to Tribal Council. And it's like, okay, what do we know? Abby Maria hates Wu. we know that Savage and Tasha are going to stick together. And it's like, okay, well, Wu's going to be a loyal vote. Andrew's not going to want to get rid of Wu's strength. Tasha wants to keep Wu around from Kageyan. So nothing else made sense. And I really couldn't believe how close it came. I mean, again, maybe when we talk to Jeff tomorrow, it was like I was going home 100%. It was never in doubt. The edit made it seem like it was a lot closer. No other scenario made sense to me in terms of looking at how this might break down. And that's why I think it's time to change things up, because I do think I was excited to see three tribes. I was excited to break up the two tribes that we're at, but I feel like it's time to reconvene, because I feel like there is almost no way Angkor, now the other tribes get to sit out their two best people in an immunity challenge. You have Abby Maria running in every single challenge that they do. Right. I see no way that Angkor is going to avoid a tribal council for the third consecutive week. And I think it's going to be ultimately a showdown of do you keep Wu or Abby Maria? And I think that's potentially a boring episode next week if they don't change things up.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that this was the risk. You know, this is the risk, as you, Rob, you well know, in an all-star season, when you have tribes of three and you only have six people on each tribe, there's nowhere really to hide and you lose big characters like this. So just in that design, there is a risk. But I think also this, we didn't give Angkor any extra food. They have to start all over again. They have a really difficult beach based on what PG was telling me in my exit interview with her. You know, there were a lot of factors against Angkor. Just from the jump, if you drew that yellow buff, you were in big trouble. And I think, you know, we can unpack where Varner's game went wrong. I think we absolutely should. There's an argument that it went wrong with him blowing up at the mat at the last episode. I think as soon as he drew that yellow buff, he was screwed. So I'm with you. I think that it's you know, it was a cool idea to break up two tribes into three, but I think it's probably about time to consolidate.
I think it's run its course, and I hope that next week. And again, from base, it didn't seem like that's what they were doing from the preview. But the preview I felt like was a little like oddly constructed. So maybe we find out later in the week that maybe that is what's ultimately going to be happening. It seemed like there was just like shots of different things happening and not necessarily one through line in what they were showing us in the preview. But more on that as the week moves along. Josh, when you talk about breaking down Jeff Varner's game in terms of what he ultimately did wrong, I have to go back to last week. And when we talk about how the Takeo tribe at this new Angkor beach had the 4-2 advantage, and that Jeff Varner's biggest strength in this game was that he was the Abby Maria whisperer. He was the person who was getting the Abby time. And if there was going to be one person potentially in this game who could control Abby Maria, it was Jeff Varner. But yet, the Abby Maria thing goes off the handle last week. If Jeff could have kept that under wraps, if he could have just kept that pot from boiling over, they had the 4-2 advantage. They could have gotten rid of Savage. They could have gotten rid of Tasha last week if they were able to keep that under control. Is Jeff Varner's biggest fault in this game, because honestly, there's not much he could have done this week, was his biggest fault going back to last week's episode where he could not keep Takeo together?
Yeah, I mean, that's not great. That sucks. And, you know, you can chalk that up to a bunch of factors. I think that Tasha was really, really strong with Abby. And I think we saw that even more this week, that she really has a handle on Abby, to the point that she's, you know, she's saving her eye rolls to the side of the camera where Abby is not going to be able to see her. I think that that's a piece of it. Varner just lost her in the face of Tasha. I feel like, you know, that was bad, but was it insurmountable? I don't know. I wonder if Varner, and this is something I definitely plan on asking him, does Varner regret not going to Rocks last week, not going to bat with PG and Wu and forcing a tie for Abby? Because are Savage and Tasha going to stick their necks on the line to go to Rocks? And I just think it's interesting that potentially resisting a tie situation may have been a very bad call for a guy who got blasted out on a tie his first time. So that's kind of what I'm wondering right now.
I think there's going to be some really fun interviews with Jeff tomorrow all across the Survivor press.
So too soon.
Going back to these challenges tonight, I really felt like Survivor tried to do Angkor a solid here. And again, another argument in favor of why it's time to merge these tribes back together. I feel like that Survivor did such a solid for the Angkor tribe by making that into a hero challenge today, because there is no, in the reward challenge, there is no way that Angkor wins that challenge if that is a relay race in terms of where Jeff Varner is doing a leg, where Abby Maria is doing a leg. They knew they had the worst beach. They knew they had no food, and they gave them a really solid chance because they knew Andrew was going to do it, and good on Andrew for winning it. But that was, they did them a favor by making that the hero challenge.
Yeah, that would have been very difficult for the entire tribe to participate in that. But then again, you know, nice reward. I'm sure it was a great barbecue. I'm sure Leaf would have loved it. But are these guys, you know, really benefiting from the barbecue? We see them. They're still so depleted. It's like when Calabaugh gets the sandwiches after they negotiate the deal between Penner and Mike. That's great for a day, but come the next day with the immunity challenge, it just didn't matter at all. So I do think that they did them a solid, but I think that the situation that Anchor is in right now is so desperate that it didn't even matter that they had a, you know, they found the beef and it still wasn't enough.
What's the beef? Where's the beef?
It's sausage. Sausage. Beef sausage.
Josh, with this hero challenge this week, I thought there was some interesting calls that were made. Were you surprised that Joe did not run this challenge for Takeo?
Nah, Terry Dietz, he's got the track record, right? You know, he's got the, he's the legendary challenge beast. That guy wanted to step up.
Okay, he had the track record, but he comes in second.
You would expect that Superman would be the one who's stepping up, but maybe Joe was finally like, you know, I've done this a lot. Maybe I should let somebody else have one right now.
Yeah. So I was very surprised ultimately to see that. And ultimately then Jeremy goes, and again, Jeremy always looks the part, but we still have not seen Jeremy beast one of these challenges yet. Are you surprised that Spencer wasn't the call based on his track record versus Jeremy's?
I feel like Wigglesworth would have been the call. I feel like Wigglesworth is the one to send out there. She's so athletic. She's such a beast. I feel like she's intense in these challenges. I feel like she would have been the one to send out there. But
I like that.
I think if it's between Jeremy and who's next, I think Wigglesworth over anybody else on that trip.
Okay. Interesting enough. You know, we didn't see a ton at the other beaches. Probably the most interesting thing that we saw was this sequence with Cass where she woke
happy
up early.
Happy birthday, Kelly Wentworth.
Happy birthday, Kelly Wentworth. Did you think that Cass in any way was working on a hidden idol, was busted, and then used the birthday as a cover story?
No, don't you think we would have seen that? Because that's so good. That's so delicious. That would have been really amazing to have that story with Cass if that was actually what had happened. I think we're seeing nice Cass. Mm-hmm. I think that this is nice Cass, and I think that she was making her tribe made a birthday bracelet. And I don't know. I think it was Dom from Dom and Colin who said, somebody broke my Cass, I want a replacement on Twitter tonight. And I think that's fair. This is not the Cass that we know.
I want a refund.
Yeah, I want a refund on this Cass.
No, I mean, good for Cass. I mean, that I had my doubts about her in terms of, like, you know, when I talked to her in the pregame, she talked about, you know, people said I needed to read self-help books. And I said, Cass, but I feel like you're being flip about this. I feel like you're joking around about it. And I feel like you're not taking this piece of advice seriously. And good on Cass that she was. Bad on Cass that she's no longer must-see TV. But good on good on Cass for making the adjustment. And ultimately, but then again, you know,
it was feel good TV, you know, it was feel good TV.
Yeah. Feel good TV. But, you know, I want
that's the wrong show, right?
Yeah. I want my Chaos Cast back. Now, that being said, also just going back to Survivor Kagyan, we did not see Chaos Cast really emerge until after the merge. So pre-merge Cast can keep things under control.
Yeah. I mean, she was a little, you know, she was unpredictable with the Garrett vote, but, you know, That was one thing. I think that could still emerge. I think it's definitely possible that we'll still get a villainous Cass somewhere along the way. But right now, I've been really impressed with Cass. And Cass is one of those people who's talking about this narrative that seems to be coming out in Second Chance. It's something that we've talked about a lot. This whatever happened, happened idea. If you resist change, you're in trouble. We've seen somebody like Spencer has said this before. He said this in last week's episode, that people who recognize their mistakes from the first time and actively correct them and learn from those mistakes are being rewarded in this game. And we're seeing Cass in this episode say, embrace evolution, embrace change, you know,
evolution of strategy.
Yeah, thank you, Cass, for pitching for us.
Plugging on national television. Thank you, Cass.
Very good. I expect a big spike in sales. I think that she's, you know, she's saying the type of thing that you want to hear from these players, especially given this story that seems to be overarching this season of you got to change if you want to have your second chance be what you want it to be. And Cass is one of those people who is talking about that a lot. Like, that looks really, really good on Cass. And she's the one who says it in this episode. Like, I think I was probably very close to number one on a lot of people's hit lists. And now I'm doing really well. So Cass is having a great game so far. Let's see if she can sustain it, but she's certainly not, you know, the chaotic force that we thought we might see this season.
No, not so much yet. Over on Bayon, not too much going on there. We saw a little bit of Jeremy talking with Steven and said how he could be the new JT with right. Steven. You know, that was my initial pitch to Steven for Survivor Know-It-Alls. I said, Steven, I could be your new JT of podcasting.
Right. Well, I hear that things between you and Steven aren't going so great these days. So he's in line for a new BFF. So Jeremy is going to be the guy.
Is that what happened? Well, I'm not holding the idol from him.
Right. Yeah. How about that? That's some trickery going on right there. What do you think about that? Do you think that Jeremy's making the right call keeping this from Steven?
I mean, I absolutely do. I don't know what necessarily the benefit is to try to go ahead. I mean, just as Steven said, I think that this is going to be something that bonds us together. It's the journey for Jeremy, not the destination of Livy. Looking for the idol is bonding us together. We don't have to actually go get the idol together. We're just all looking for it together.
Right. Do you buy, though, that Jeremy authentically wants to work with Steven, that he sees himself as somebody who could be the JT to Steven's, I guess, Steven?
I think that Jeremy is ready to work with anybody who will go to the end with him. So if Steven wants to sit at the end, he would gladly sit next to Steven at the end, because I think that Jeremy feels like he could smoke Steven at the end of the game. Jeremy's whole thing is, can I find a one person who will want to go to the end with me? And believe me, I can relate to how this goes. Can I find one person who wants to sit up there with me? If I can, you're my alliance. I don't care. Yeah. You want to go to the end with me? Fine. I don't care. I can't stand you? Fine. You want to go with me? I think it's for Jeremy, it's all about his quest. Forget about finding the idol. For him, through two seasons, it's all about finding anybody that won't be worried about his story when he gets to the end. And you see, even this season, that he can't even tell people that Val is pregnant because he's worried that people are going to think, oh, well, now I can't sit next to Jeremy. That's what he's thinking about.
Well, that was obviously, it was a big concern for him in 29 in San Juan del Sur. That was his big crux. We saw it not work out so well for him there. But do you think that in this season that he is presenting himself as a guy that anyone would want to go to the end with? If you're Steven, are you looking at Jeremy as somebody that you would take to the top, or is anyone going to be thinking that way right now?
I don't know if Steven's necessarily in a position to sort of craft his final two at this point. I think that it's still too early in the game, but for Jeremy, he's not willing to throw Steven to the side and say, as somebody, oh, I can't trust him, I can't work with him. I think he's open to, okay, maybe Steven is a guy who I can ultimately, I've been with Steven now for 10 days, 12 days. Seems like they have a positive relationship. And so I think that he's definitely open to the idea of moving forward with Steven. So we'll see how it goes. We also saw Spencer still continuing to try to work his way.
His quest to feel. And we saw him
talking about Kelly, trying to throw Kelly Wigglesworth under the bus. Monica not buying it, though. What do you make of Monica telling us she doesn't trust Spencer?
Yeah, I mean, talk about getting fooled by the edit. I thought that Bayon might be in trouble in this episode because Angkor won that reward challenge. That was great. I thought that they had some momentum and we were starting to see a lot of interpolitics of Bayon. We started to see Monica rubbing up against Spencer in a not so great way, not really feeling what he was putting down. And I thought that that might be where we were headed. Obviously, that was not where we were headed, but there's some sort of feud that's brewing between Monica and Spencer. Spencer is doing everything he can to get in good with Jeremy and Steven and this majority alliance here at Bayon. Monica not buying it. But the question is can she protect Kelly Wigglesworth if that's what she wants to do? Does she have the clout in this group to protect Wigglesworth over Spencer, who seems to be in good, certainly with Jeremy, and we can imagine with Steven as well?
Yeah. And Monica talking about the Battle of the Sexes. It was interesting because we went to an act break on the Monica talking about not trusting Spencer. So it gave it more importance of something that was going to loom larger, maybe not necessarily in this episode, but maybe down the road in terms of like going to the commercial on like that sort of beat. Monica talking about Spencer. I was like, okay, sure, whatever.
Yeah, it's nice to hear from Monica. Monica gets gets some airtime this week. It's been a little while.
We won't be hearing Purple Monica as much this week. In terms of this challenge that, you know, it was a lot of talk about because this was a challenge that I actually saw in person. The last Survivor challenge I ever witnessed up close and personal was this same challenge that they did tonight from episode 4 of Survivor All-Stars.
You hate the blindfold challenge.
I don't know necessarily when people are getting hurt as hard as they were tonight. And again, I feel like we were very lucky that Spencer's leg didn't get broken. We were lucky that nobody had to get medevaced from the game. We stopped doing Schmergen Brawl when people were getting hurt too much. I don't know why we have a challenge. We have hundreds of challenges we could do. Why do a challenge? Is the juice worth the squeeze, Josh Wiggler? Why do a challenge where we have a much higher chance somebody gets seriously hurt and have to get... If Spencer had to get medevaced out of the game because he had a broken leg, would this have been worth it? Is this such a great challenge that we have to do this challenge?
Yeah, I'm really surprised that it's back after the Kelly Remington thing from Worlds Apart, that, you know, literally just a piece of the challenge falls on her blindfolded head and she's bleeding everywhere. And it was a big dramatic moment, sure. Was it worth someone getting that injured over? Probably not. And I think that you summed it up really well. If Spencer breaks a leg in this challenge and gets medevaced, that really sucks. That's not good. That's not fun for anybody. Yeah, he was lucky. I mean, who knows what happened to Varner? We can ask Varner tomorrow. How's your foot, man? Because that didn't seem like it was good. He had the cane. He had like the Dragon Slayer cane at the end of this thing. So it could have been
a Ruben Tejada situation.
Right. Yeah. I kind of know what that means. It could have been really, really bad. And I agree with you. When is it going to be enough? I don't know. I don't think that people love the blindfold challenge. I don't know that it is absolutely worth punishing these people so hard over. I would not be sad to never see it again. And I am grateful that people didn't get hurt worse tonight. And it looked really painful and it wasn't very fun to watch, honestly.
Yeah. So I think we have so many great challenges. Why do something where people could get seriously hurt? Okay.
Yeah.
And look, people got seriously hurt. That one that I watched, I didn't have a blindfold on. I saw Big Tom get a... If it was the NFL, he would not have passed concussion protocol.
Yeah, so, there's a very gif-able Rob Cesarnino reaction to that, I remember.
Yeah. Damn. Okay. Yeah. So let's get into some of these questions from you guys tonight here with Josh Wiggler. Why don't we start it off? Josh, what does Nick2S have to say?
All right. Let's hear what Nick2S has to say. Did all three tribes have some agreement to have their older guys compete or what? Why wouldn't they have Wu, Joe, or Spencer compete in that challenge? Yeah, this was like it was like the golden age of heroes tonight.
Yeah, Wu would have been another great call ultimately to go. Was it just sort of like, hey, let's the old dogs get ready to go?
Well, I don't know how he's doing, and the show hasn't made a meal of this at all, but Wu hurt his foot in that marooning. That was something Gordon Holmes reported that happened out on set while we were there, and Wu cut up his foot, the bottom of his foot, during the marooning on a rope ladder or something like that. And I know that he wasn't feeling so good there. I wonder how he's feeling now, but maybe a big running challenge where he's the only guy. It might not be his forte right now.
Yeah.
I guess it was like a gentleman's agreement that the older gentlemen were all going to race against each other.
Okay. There you go.
That seems to be what happened.
Let's take one from Connor Berry, who says, did Varner's speech hurt him? I think that they might have seen that he was playing too hard, or was it just his lack of strength? Josh, do you feel like the speech ultimately hurt Jeff Varner, because it seemed like the speech is what made it close?
Yeah, no, I think that the decision was made going into tribal council. And I think, you know, thinking back on like Abby's reactions to what Varner was saying in retrospect, the kind of, you know, pained reaction where she's like, oh, Jeff, no, I hear what you're saying, man. You know, I feel like Abby knew going into that tribal council that Jeff was getting her vote. And it felt to me like Jeff was in trouble. So I agree with you. I think that the speech was a last ditch effort. But I think that Jeff had been a dead man walking on that tribe for a little while.
The only thing that makes me wonder if maybe Jeff felt like it was in flux was because there we had that moment where he's like, can we just vote? Can we just vote? And that does not seem like the words of the dead man walking. I feel like if I know what my fate is, I'm saying, hey, Jeff, let's keep talking. I feel like we're getting somewhere.
Can we move here? Our beach sucks. Can we stay here?
Yeah, can we stay here? I mean, I think there's more levels to this. Let's just keep talking it through. Yeah. Maybe we'll get somewhere tonight.
Right. Yeah, just filibuster through the whole tribal council.
Because to me, in watching the episode, it was like, oh, Jeff feels like he made his closing argument. Can we just go vote now? So I felt like that he was definitely ready to go. I also thought it was really interesting that we never really got Andrew's take during any of this. It was sort of like, here's what Tasha thinks, here's what Abby thinks, here's what Wu thinks, here's what Jeff thinks. But again, and we saw Andrew's breakdown after the challenge. Maybe Andrew just had nothing in the tank after that challenge.
Yeah, well, he said that. He is like, I can't think. I've never been this low before. I played college football. And he's having
a little humble brag there.
A little bit of, the humble brag is kind of part of Savage's arsenal. But yeah, he's really spent. He's goosed at the end of that challenge. So maybe he's just not giving great confessional after that one.
Okay.
All right. This is from Lori. She says, why were they so concerned with Abby's vote? Only needed 3 to send Jeff's home. So yeah, so this is the argument of, why not Tasha and Savage just tell Wu we're voting for Varner and tell Abby we're voting for Wu, but we actually vote for Varner? I think that's the argument that's being put forth, and I'm seeing that happen a lot online right now.
Okay. Well, I think that the reason why that you don't want to do this, I think they sort of wanted to have their cake and eat it too. I think that they wanted to try to move forward. Like, you heard the way that Savage and Tasha have talked about this group. Like, they're not sort of looking at it like an intentional Matt Singh. They're almost looking at it as, hey, this is our group that we're moving forward with. And we saw Tasha have that big scene after Andrew won that Andrew did this for the love of this tribe. And I'm like, I don't know about that. But yeah. I don't know about that. But in terms of, I think that they're trying to move forward as productively as possible, where they want to keep their 4 strong. They want to keep Wu. And they also don't want Abby Maria being that person that's also moving forward, but with an axe to grind against them. So I think that they're being very mindful of the Abby Maria bomb, which they don't want to go off on them at a later date.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that including Abby in this plan keeps her as peaceful as possible, as peaceful as Abby can get. I think that it makes camp life a little bit easier. You don't have to keep Abby in the dark on this one. I guess the risk is that she could turn around and tell Varner it's going to be you tonight. And then does Varner have an even more aggressive blow up? And is he able to somehow convince somebody to vote with him and Abby? I don't really see who that third person would be. So I think that telling Abby, even if she told Varner, if that's the worst thing that happens, I don't think that Varner has numbers that he can rally at this point. And I think to keep Abby feeling pretty good the next day, that's great for everybody's psyche. If we can have a happy Abby or as happy an Abby as possible, that's got to be good. And I think that Tasha and Savage can still, now they can choose. They can choose whether to work with Wu or Abby, and everybody is as happy as possible at the moment.
Yeah. Again, though, it doesn't buy you that much keeping Abby Maria happy, because tomorrow she could end up saying like, hey, I did what you guys wanted to do at the last vote. I voted out Jeff and I listened to you, and now you're trying to make me do something.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You could go either way. Yeah. You can try to make her happy and it's just not going to work.
It's tricky. Okay, let's take one from R. Vandervest. Should Abby be the next to go at this point, or will Wu feel indebted to her and it becomes a 2-2?
2v2.
Is it a 2v2 next week? So what do we think ultimately happens if Angkor does go to tribal council again next week?
I think the smart play is probably to get rid of Abby at this point. You don't know, if Angkor still exists as a tribe, and that means we're still in a 3-tribe format for a while, keep Wu around as much as you can. Wu is going to be a loyal soldier to Tasha at this point. Tasha has seen his game. Abby is unpredictable, and Abby has flipped on a bunch of people at this point. And yeah, Tasha has Abby in control right now, but you can see it. I mean, it's great work that Tasha is doing with Abby. It's really fantastic stuff, but it's obviously taking a toll. You do see her roll her eyes in that scene with Abby, and the conversations are so circular between the two of them, and Tasha is having to do a lot of work to keep that alive. I don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze in that department. I think that getting rid of Abby next is a fairly easy decision if I'm Tasha or Savage.
Well, let me play devil's advocate with you. So I would argue that getting rid of Wu is the better decision for the long term, because you get rid of Wu here. If you go to try again, this is like, but this is getting into like the intentional Matt Singh. You get rid of Wu here,
thinking about that too.
And then you go to the net, and then, okay, well, we've lost Wu, and then you do the challenge. And then if you lose again, it's like, okay, now I've got out Abby Maria. Are they really?
And so Savage and Tasha become the new Denise and Malcolm.
Right. The new Denise and Malcolm. I mean, are they going to let them be? Are they going to let the other tribes have 6 and have potentially another immunity challenge and let Tasha and Savage go down to a fire making Bobby John versus Stephanie type tribal council in episode 7 of this series?
It might be good TV.
Possible. So I feel like, because Wu's the bigger threat. Wu's going to rejoin Takeo.
He's the bigger threat, but he is loyal to Tasha, and Tasha has a relationship with him, and he does not require nearly as much work. I get your point, too, though. You know, if they do think, you know, if they are thinking along those lines, listen, I've advocated for the intentional Matt Singh in the past, and if that's a viable strategy, then Savage and Tasha could be in a really interesting position to really cripple the old Takeo by taking out two more people there and positioning themselves to be valuable players. But I don't know. I think keeping Wu, if you're Tasha especially, he's less work than Abby. He's just as loyal to you. He's valuable if you want to keep your tribe strong, if that's something that interests you. I think that if I'm Tasha, I'm more inclined to keep Wu.
Yeah, I agree. In the case of it being Wu in this particular instance, of somebody that is looking for that new Tony to sort of guide him in this game, that Tasha could be that person, I think you have to have a level of comfort with Wu moving forward. Let's take one from Carrie. What does Carrie have to say?
All right. Carrie Graveline. I like the last name. What was Varner's biggest misstep in the game? At least it wasn't peanut butter this time. So you're arguing that not keeping the Takeo gang in check, that would be his biggest
mistake. I think the inability to keep Takeo strong, and again, we might talk to him tomorrow and he'll tell us why that was an impossibility, but I feel like that if he was coming off of such a great run with Abby Maria in episode 2, where I love Abby Maria, she's turning me on, she's so great, right. She's so great, I'll go to the end with her, that he was not able to take her under his wing and say, Abby, look, I know you don't like PG. We'll get her. We'll get out PG. Right. He let Abby Maria be compromised by Tasha and Savage.
You know, we talked about this in episode 2. We talked about this really early on with Varner, that is the dude playing too hard, too fast? You know, this is a guy who joins up with the beach people and votes out Vetus in that first vote. He flips on the beach people in the next vote. There's really no beach people in the next vote because everyone's either Shireen or Spencer. But he's playing a really fast, aggressive game right away. Was it too fast for Varner? Is that speed? Did that catch up with him at all, do you think? Is this a guy who could have played a more low-key game the first few days of the game?
The only thing you could really argue is the whole thing that happened at the end of the last challenge where Tasha really lost trust in him. And who's to say that she didn't already lose trust in him before that, where he's trying to send signals to Kelly Wigglesworth, where, you know, he can't be worried about what Kelly Wigglesworth is doing over on the new Bion tribe. I feel like that's really the one case. I mean, if he did not go with Abby Maria, I think that he would have potentially been in a worse situation with her moving forward. I think that he set himself up well to sort of be the Takeo mastermind at that new Angkor tribe, be the head of that group of four, because you had Abby Maria and you had PG, who both looked up to him. Wu didn't love Jeff Varner, but you get the sense that Wu wanted to stick with Takeo. So I think that unfortunately he could not hold that foursome together.
Yeah, I think you're right. It sucks. It's a bummer. Big bummer.
Okay. Let's take a couple more questions. What about from Natron?
Natron Beans. So was Joe cheating on that immunity challenge? No direction. Picking the right blocks, stopping on a dime to drop the blocks. Magic Joe? Yeah, he's Superman. It's proven now. He can see through buffs. He has X-ray vision. This dude is unstoppable. He is an alien. It's confirmed. Alien Joe.
The rules of the challenge were a little unclear to me because it seemed like people were going out in pairs to go do it, but I guess you were allowed to just ditch your pair. Also,
at a certain point,
Also, I think maybe Keith Nail might need to have his hearing checked. On a serious note, I think that maybe it's time for Keith Nail to...
Waxy ears, perhaps. He needs to get that flushed out.
I don't know.
It's a thing. It's real.
As long as you keep Q-tipping, you'll be okay.
It was really funny to just watch Cass just screaming at him, being, I can't hear you. It was good. It was really good TV, but yeah, I'd be worried about his hearing as well.
Okay. Edward Morris wants to know, was there anything aside from a win or finding an idol that could have saved Jeff this week? Does not seem like it. The only thing I could think of is that to throw Abby under the bus.
Yeah, I mean, he could try. I still think that he's hanging his hopes on Abby at that point. And if he tries to throw Abby under the bus, then he's guaranteed gone because Tasha and Savage, who don't trust him a lot anyway, will just tell Abby and then she'll say, oh, well, then he's definitely dead to me. So I don't know. I mean, I get that point, but I think that there's a lot of risk involved in throwing Abby under the bus there. Is there anything Varner could have done? He could have won immunity. You know, that's basically it. I think that as soon as that version of Angkor went to tribal council, Varner was toast. And it's frankly, it's a miracle that he came out last week unscathed. I think that that was the miracle and there wasn't going to be another one.
Okay. Let's do this question from Rachel.
All right. Rachel Lehman says, why, oh, why couldn't they have pulled a Cesternino out and voted out the swing?
Yeah, that would have been
good.
That's
your move.
I like that. I like that move. We'll definitely ask Jeff about that tomorrow and see what he would have thought about that. But again, he made his bed with Abby Maria. He's like, I think he felt like I could get maybe Andrew and Tasha to switch and vote against Wu and play the loyalty card, as opposed to, you know, they already were concerned he was a schemer. At the point he comes to them and says, hey, why don't we flip the whole thing around and vote out Abby Maria? Right. I think they say, I think that might be a little bit of going back to Kelly Wentworth, the sneaky, sneaky.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Kick him under the bus. That's right.
Yeah, go under the bus, stuff. Harry. Yeah. Okay.
What do you think about what Spanky Hot Dog says? How shocked are you that Kimmy outlasted Varner this time? Are you shocked that Kimmy is lasting longer than Varner?
Yeah. I mean, it's surprising. I mean, it really is. I mean, Kimmy has seemingly done a better job of changing who she is, but we haven't talked to anybody from over there. So basically, there's that whole buy-on camp that there's a lot of people that we, even in exit interviews, we haven't heard from anybody talking about, oh boy, living with Kimmy, let me just tell you, they're not showing it on this show. Or nobody has said the opposite of like, oh my God, Kimmy was a dream to live with. We loved Kimmy. She's so much different than she was the first time around. So ultimately, we don't know that much about Kimmy, but I think it's surprising that that Jeff does go out before her.
More than that, though, I'm just really sad that we didn't get a Varner-Kimmy scene this season. That would have been fantastic. Would have been really good to check in on the two of them, because I know that a lot of people thought that Varner and Kimmy didn't get along, but they were getting along. I would have loved to have seen those two people on the same tribe together and see if they actually would have gotten along. And the closest to a Varner-Kimmy scene we're going to get is Varner mouthing her name and then getting in big trouble over it. So that sucks. It's a bummer. That would have been great.
Disappointing. Okay, what about from Jairus Layad? Why weren't Bion and Takeo shocked when they found out that PG was voted out?
Yeah, there wasn't a huge reaction from any of the Takeo people, especially, which I guess I was kind of surprised by, because that would have been the tribe to knock out Savage or Tasha. That should have been a foregone conclusion. You would have expected at least a few more raised eyebrows, but I don't know. I guess people didn't care for PG that much.
Yeah, you would have expected, or the Bion people weren't like, oh, right, yeah, we go.
Okay. I love PG.
Yeah.
Big fan. Okay. This is from Justin Sharkey. Is there any chance Survivor would merge the three tribes into one? Survivor could always split them back into two tribes later. What about that? A one world. Could we go from two tribes to three tribes to a one world?
Well, a one world was never that there was one tribe. We've never actually done that outside of like the first day of Survivor Pullout, where we have, hey, everybody's on one beach. This is an individual game to start. And then we're going to do like in Survivor Fiji and then make up new tribes. And then you run a challenge and then have a tribal council. I think that's too cute to go from three to one. There's 16 people still in the game. I think you can go easily from 16 to two, or you could juggle next week and go from 15 to three new tribes. But I feel like it's time. Let's get to eight. You know, let's get two tribes of eight moving forward here and see how this looks like. And then maybe, you know, make a run for the merge with this.
Yeah, I think that would be great. And I think that, you know, doing this every two votes, too, would be nice. You know, if the idea is we want to let these people play, if we want to shake things up for them, then don't linger on the three tribes for too long. Get them back into two tribes. Get a new configuration of people. Save some of these people who are just on this sinking Angkor ship and give them a shot to play. Give them an actual chance to play, because the people on Angkor are just screwed right now if they don't get some extra numbers or get onto a better beach.
Let's go. Shepherd 6 says, where is Kimmy? Keith Wigglesworth, seems like the edit is not giving people airtime. Are they a lost cause in terms of the winning? That's the other thing about this three tribe format. We're so Angkor heavy now. And at this point, we're only four people in that tribe. We've seen so much now of Savage. And then also with Abby Maria, probably those are, now that Varner is gone, maybe our top two people in terms of airtime this season. They're both on that beach, Tasha and Wu are there as well. And I feel like there's a lot of people on this season, on these other two tribes, that we're just not seeing very much of either. And that's another reason why I want to bring it back together.
Yeah, no, I think that the three tribe format, it can do that. You know, people can get lost in the shuffle in terms of the game. People can get in big trouble in terms of the numbers, but also in terms of the story. You can just lose sight of people. You can lose track of people. Do I think that they're completely out of the running? I don't think all of them are. I think that we had a pretty compelling Kelly Wigglesworth story, for instance, starting in the first episode. I think that those stories could come back to the forefront. But the Abby story has been so huge, and she's been at every single tribal council. The Varner story was so huge, and he was at every single tribal council. So some of these people just have to get into danger. You know, some of these people just have to get into trouble in order for us to see more of their stories. I don't think it's necessarily a lost cause yet, but I'd like to see more of them. I'd like that to happen. That'd be nice.
Those are two more questions. This is from XMHGI1. Why did Jeff Varner get such a huge winner's edit going out fourth? Was this a screw up for a curveball from the Survivor editors to make us think that Jeff Varner had the winner's edit?
Would you have called the edit that Varner was getting up to this point the winner's edit? Do you think that he was being groomed for a march to victory?
I would say that it would be a winner's edit. I would not say it feels like the only winner's edit, but I think that that his narrative was one that it felt like he could have gone to the end.
Right. Yeah, I think absolutely. But, you know, I think that the reason why Jeff got such a huge edit is because that dude is a huge personality, and there's just no repressing a guy like that. You would really have to completely cut him out of the show, and I don't know that you can do that with someone like Jeff Varner. He has a lot to say. He says it really eloquently. He says it very convincingly. He's a compelling character. He is really charismatic. He is very cunning, and you only have him for four episodes, so while you got him, use him. So I think that that's why we got such a big edit from Varner, is because he's such a big personality. And I think anyone that has had any interaction with him, whether it's online or in person, or just as a relationship as a TV viewer with the character on screen, I think there's an undeniable presence to this guy. And there was a reason why he was being shown so much. It wasn't because he was the winner. It's because he's a huge character.
Great TV. Let's do one last question.
Fantastic,
Josh.
TV.
Edward Morris.
All right. Edward Morris says, do you think that this was Abby's decision, or did Savage and Tasha tell her that's how they were voting? Do you think that mom and dad put their foot down and said, Abby, we're voting for Jeff?
I don't
care if you like it.
Again, I don't think you can do that to Abby Maria, but I think that they sort of like, you know, okay, here comes the airplane. Take your medicine, yep. Abby Maria. No, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. Come on, Abby Maria. Come on. It's good. You'll like it. Come on. Come on.
And great then finally, okay, insight into fine. Rob's parenting skills.
Yeah,
right
fine.
Now.
Fine. Okay. And she finally did it. I think that's ultimately where this game, I think it was just so much like begging Abby Maria to do it.
Right.
She's like, okay, fine, but you owe me one now. And believe me, there's an invoice. They're gonna have to pay the bill.
Pay the bill. Yeah, you owe me one. You owe me one.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how that works out. I don't know if you want. You don't want to be in debt to Abby Maria, I don't think.
All right. So much to do these next couple days. Okay. Randy Bailey on the podcast tomorrow. Can't wait for that. Plus our exit interviews with Jeff Varner. Talk to Jeff in the morning, get that up around lunchtime on the East Coast, probably a little bit after lunch. Josh will have his interview up bright and early. Go to robswebsite.com/parade to read Josh's interview with Jeff Varner. Plus, get your voicemails in. We're going to have Nicole on the podcast. Talk to her. Rob has a website.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Josh, do you have a hashtag for this episode of the podcast?
I don't know. I'm just like feeling sad, Varner, at this point. Does the chat room have any suggestions for the hashtag? I'm too sad to think of one with Varner being gone.
Okay. All right. We'll work on a hashtag for Jeff Varner. I also want to thank, we haven't talked about this at all this season, I want to thank the Fake Plastic Trees, who record the music. That's the name of the band that records the music to Survivor Know-It-Alls, who recorded the remix this season with Josh Wiggler being on the show. So I want to thank them. You could check out their music at fakeplastictrees.nl. That's
catchy
their
stuff. Catchy.
That's their website. So I know people always say they love the Survivor Know-It-Alls theme song. So good job by those guys in terms of creating the new version of the theme song. All right. Yeah. So a lot going on here on the podcast. So what do we got? People, I see hashtag Varner for Mr. Survivor. Is that what Varner is campaigning for?
Wow.
For Vote Varner?
He has been saying hashtag Vote Varner a whole lot.
Yeah,
he really has. It's not over. Or is he campaigning for third time's a charm already?
I don't know exactly what's going on there with Jeff Varner. What he wants people to vote for him for?
Jeff Varner coming back for round three? Is that going to happen?
I would say that I think that it would be of the people we're talking about so far, I feel like that there would be a market for that.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. So, all right, Josh, last call. What's the hashtag?
You want to do that, Varner for Mr. Survivor?
You could do it. You could do it. There you go. All right. We'll be back tomorrow with much more. Looking forward to reading your comments on robhasawebsite.com. Be good to everybody in the comments. I don't want to see any people arguing with each other. We got a lot to talk about, lots of fun to come here. Only 4 episodes in of Survivor Cambodia. Have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye. Survivor, no.